You should have gotten a bulletin the last day or so, and there's an outline of this lesson in the bulletin. If you didn't get it, look in your mailbox. I sent it on Wednesday night, so it should be in your presence there. But this is kind of an important question, and it's one I think we all can relate to as I look at who's listening to me this morning, and I know some of your situations. I think all of us can relate to the fact that we have times in our lives when we ask, where are you, God? God, why me? David in the 10th Psalm, almost the whole Psalm, he's yelling at God about the things that were happening in his life that were bad things. Have you ever yelled at God? I have. There have been times when I hit bottom and, God, where are you? Have you ever said, oh, God, my God, why have you forsaken me? You know who else said that? I read Matthew 27, verse 46. You know, one of the things that I think it's important to understand is that we don't have a God that's easily offended. If that was the case, we'd have been gone a long time ago. But I think it's important to understand that when things are rough, as they are for a lot of people right now, there's a lot of false teaching out there. I'm seeing and hearing stuff where people say, well, this is God getting even with man. The virus is God's retribution for our forsaking of his ways and his teaching. That's a false teaching. That's not the nature of God. James 1 and verse 13 says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he does not tempt any man. The bad things that happen to you are not things that come from God. Another false teaching that's out there, which is part of our denominational world, is that people are turning to Revelation 9 and they're saying, well, this is the beginning of the plagues. Well, that's dispensationalism. It's a popular denominational teaching. It's not biblical. You know, what's happening here is not unique. You say, well, this has never happened before. Well, I want to read you something that it really sort of hit me. Maybe it'll hit you. Imagine you were born in 1900. Listen to what would have happened to your life. On your 14th birthday, World War I would have started. It ended on your 18th birthday and 22 million people died in that war. In the same year, the Spanish flu epidemic hit the planet and it ran until you were 20 years old and 50 million people died. 50 million. On your 29th birthday, the Great Depression began. Unemployment hit 25%. World GDP dropped 27% and it ran until you were 33 years old. The country nearly collapsed along with the world economy. And then when you turned 39 years old, World War II started. On your 41st birthday, the United States was totally pulled into that war. And between your 39th birthday and your 45th birthday, 75 million people perished in that war. When you hit 50 years of age, the Korean War started and 5 million people died. At 55, the Vietnam War began. It lasted 20 years. 4 million people died. On your 62nd birthday, the Cuban Missile Crisis, the tipping point in the Cold War. And I can still remember because I was in the National Guard and was activated during that thing, and it looked like the world was going to end. When you turned 75, the Vietnam War started. All that is for somebody born in the year 1900. It's kind of interesting when you were a kid, or when we hear kids today say, well, Grandma, you don't understand. You don't understand how tough life is today. Listen to that. Somebody born in 1900, look at what they endured. Look what they went through. So I think it's important to understand that what we are experiencing now is really not all that unique. As a matter of fact, in Jesus' day, the COVID-19 was leprosy. And that's a horrible disease and killed innumerable numbers of people. So there was the ultimate quarantine. So I want to make a couple of points here for us as Christians to think about. Point number one, God did not create disease. It's so important to understand that when God created the creation, there was no disease. Genesis 1, verse 31, at the end of the creation, God says, it is very good. But God told man, even at that time, that there were unclean things. In Genesis 9, beginning with verse 2, God told Noah and his family, every living thing that moves and lives will be food for you. Just as I gave you green plants, now I give you everything. But you must not eat meat that has lifeblood still in it. And God gave him everything, but he said there's some things you can't do. As a matter of fact, if you read through Leviticus, the 11th chapter, you'll find all kinds of statements about what they could and could not eat. In verse 2, it says, of all the animals that live on the land, these are the ones you may eat. And you can read Leviticus 11, 1, verse 47, or you can read Deuteronomy 14. And you can see that there were many things that God said to the people. Now, look, there's some stuff that you need to stay away from. There's some things you should not eat. Now, you know, today we understand why. We know why you don't drink raw blood. We understand that there are things that can be harmful to us, not because they in and of themselves are bad, but because we have to be careful that we don't misuse them. For life to exist, there are things that can be misused. Can drugs be misused? Well, that's a silly question. And how many of us took a cocktail of drugs this morning? Get these old bodies going. Can food be misused? Oh, yeah. Can sex be misused? Well, of course. You see, there are many things that God has created which have a purpose, which have a design, but which God has specifically said to us, don't use these things. And for the most part now, we know why. Take a look. That's Scientific American for June. The coronavirus pandemic. Chasing the plagues. And the very first article, look what they have. See, the coronavirus was not something God created to torture man or to repay man or to begin the plagues. Man has misused these things, and the consequences are huge. You say, well, that's great for ancient history, but what about us? Well, there are still rules for us today. In Acts the 15th chapter, there was a meeting of the apostles and the leaders in the church in that day. They had a discussion about preaching to the Gentiles. There were some discussions about food. And the conclusion of that meeting, the Bible says, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us not to burden you with anything except the following requirements. That's Acts 15, starting with verse 28. Now, I want you to notice something. This wasn't just a bunch of guys sitting around saying, well, we think this would be a good idea. This was the Holy Spirit that was involved. This is God speaking to the church. And the first thing that it talks about is you need to stay away from idolatry. Your Bible will say meat offered to idols or sacrifice to idols. Why? We know that in other passages, Paul talks about that what you eat isn't really an issue. Don't worry about food. But you see, the problem was that the church needed to stay away from everything that reeked of idolatry. And it wasn't just the food. A second thing was sinful behavior. Religions at that time had underwritten and allowed licentiousness. Do you realize that in the ancient world, in the pagan world, prostitution was a part of worship? Do you understand that alcohol and drunkenness was a part of the religious establishment? Today, we have the same idols present. Come up, pornography, recreational drugs, the misuse of animals, profanity, racism. Boy, we're aware of that one right now, aren't we? And abuse. You see, all of those things are part of idolatry. Back in Acts 15, they're saying, stay away from these things. The third thing was, stay away from fornication. And that fornication included premarital sex. It included prostitution. It included all of the things that were part of the ancient world. And guess what? The fourth one, stay away from eating blood. The specific passage says anything strangled. You see, when something is strangled, the blood is still in it. It isn't properly prepared. So they were told to stay away from idolatry. And it is important for us to stay away from idolatry. That's why we talk about the importance of not getting involved in the things that our world is offering right now, and which is even being sanctioned by our government. Things are being made legal that are in direct contradiction to God's word. And the list is huge, isn't it? In Colossians, the second chapter, there's an important point to be made about the old law and the new law. Starting with verse 14, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code. Your King James may say the handwriting of ordinances. This is referring to the old law with its regulations that was against us and stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to his cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to religious festivals, new moon celebrations, or Sabbath days. What are these things? The handwriting of ordinances. The legalistic guidelines of the Old Testament. He's not talking about lifestyle choices. He's talking about those things that were the law of Moses. That's what was nailed to the cross. So we need to be careful we don't take that passage and generalize it into things it doesn't apply to. Somebody says, well, yeah, but that was all done away with Peter and the sheet. Well, yeah. And most of you know what that's talking about, don't you? It's in Acts the 10th chapter, starting with verse 9. There's this sheet that comes down, and Peter's been praying to God, and he has this vision. And the Lord says to Peter, okay, there's the sheet full of stuff to eat. Go get it. And Peter's response is, No. I'm not going to eat anything out of that sheep because I have never eaten anything common or unclean. Now, there's two different things involved there, common and unclean. The word common is the Greek word koino, and it means ordinary. It means like everybody else. And so what Peter is saying is, I've never been involved in eating what all these other folks eat, what all the Gentiles eat. But then he goes on and says, I have also not eaten anything that is unclean. The Greek word there is akathartos. It means to be defiled, to be impure. You can look at Mark 1, verse 23, verse 27. You can look at 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 17. You'll see that's where those words are used. So what is the message of Peter and the sheep? Is God has cleansed the Gentiles. God has cleansed Cornelius. He did not undo the consequences of being defiled. So if you eat blood, you're still going to get sick. And we know now, and you can, that article I just showed you from Scientific American talks about all the things that have happened in the pagan world today, which are violations of those simple things that were stated by the apostles in Acts 15. We are not bound by a handwriting of ordinances. Christianity is not a bunch of legalistic thou shalt nots. That's not what it's about. But go back to my original title of this sermon, this lesson. The title is, Where is God in the Pandemic? If you look at your bulletin, you'll notice that's the title. And what's the answer? He's right where he's always been. He's right where he's always been. Let me read a passage to you that you probably have read many times. But it's an important lesson from Jesus Christ. This is Matthew 24, starting with verse 3. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? When will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Listen to what Jesus says. Watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming, I am the Christ. And will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. But see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things will happen. But the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation. And kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. And all these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people because of the increase of wickedness. The love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. So Jesus knew these things were coming. The consequences of man's sin, the misuse of the good things that God has given us, continue to plague us. The coronavirus is just one example. All that stuff that I read about for a guy that was born in the year 1900, the wars, the famines, that's man's doing. That's human greed, selfishness. Moving away from what God has instructed us to be about. And unfortunately, it affects all of us, you and me. But we have the assurance that Jesus will take care of us. Carl selected a really great song for us to sing right before we began this lesson. But I want to end this lesson by us all together reading a passage that you probably don't have to read. I'm gonna read it from the King James because I think many of you have that translation. You can probably recite it from memory. It is God's answer. Where is God? Right where he's always been. Let's read Psalms 23 together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us close in prayer. Our Father, we are so thankful that in this time of war and strife and illness and disease and death, that we as Christians still have our close, loving relationship with you. Does Jesus care? We just sang. And Lord, we know you care. We know you've given us passages like the one we just read, Father, to encourage us, to support us, to help us, even though there are sometimes things that just seem too much. We know your word promises us that we are not uniquely afflicted. In your word, in 1 Corinthians 10:13, we're told there is no temptation taken us, but such as is common to man. And Lord, sometimes that's hard. But we also know the rest of that passage says that you're faithful, that you will provide a way of escape that we may be able to endure it. And Father, we're so thankful for that promise. We pray for those of our number who are facing the death of someone they love, Bill and Patty, especially at this time. For those who are facing struggles with illness, Gary and so many others. Father, we're thankful that we have a knowledge that you are walking with us, that you understand, that you know our struggles, and that ultimately, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that you will be with us. Thank you, Lord. We love you. We praise you. And we thank you for your holy word. In Christ's name, amen.